Hi, good afternoon. Welcome to Turan's annual results conference call. I'm joined by Rodrigo Costa, the CEO, Gonçalo Soares, the CFO, and João Conceição, the COO. Everybody's here. We will do a small introduction, a presentation, and then we'll open the floor for questions as usual. Thank you. Rodrigo?
Hi, good morning or good afternoon to all of you. This is going to be my first call, and I'm here with a lot of pleasure with my colleagues, and I look forward to have many calls like the one we are about to have. We already published the results, and I'm sure you all had the opportunity to read the results, and even some of you wrote some feedback about those results. 2014 was, in fact, I would call it a good year, but at the same time, challenging, and we have been very open about all the challenges we are facing. Being the top one, the extra tax that we are facing at the moment. You know that we decided to pay the tax, and we, at the same time, we are going to challenge it in the courts. But as I said, nothing unexpected in terms of our moves. We had, just talking for a second about the good things, REN is probably one of the, not probably, we are one of the top-rated companies in terms of financial rating in the country, which is very important to us. We expect that we will keep on the same trend of very good operational results. We are a very light company in terms of operations. When you do the benchmark with us versus all our peers, I think we are in a very good position. Last year, we also benefited from the rating and from the renegotiation of some of our debt, which also is helping on the results. We keep our focus on the Portuguese market. This is, it's something that we have been investing in, trying to look around, trying to evaluate foreign projects, but up to the moment, we decided that we don't have really an alternative that we should pursue. But with that said, we will have, we believe that in May, we will have the opportunity to, address all of you and share a new strategy for the next 3 years. Although we anticipate that we will keep our focus on the Portuguese operations, as you all know, this is a concession. It's a multi-year concession. This is public service, and we will keep being extremely committed to our national business. Regarding, news for that plan, for sure we will share, some new ideas, some old ideas about how can we address the international market. Yesterday we held a press conference, and I already had the opportunity, to state exactly the same thing. And I don't think we will not surprise anybody with, a very aggressive plan, because we understand that this is a stable business. It is important to keep it stable. Again, local operations remain a key focus, and this is basically, it's going to be, a key part of our plan for the future, which at some extent will be very boring, because, this is the nature of our business. Quality, security, and also never forgetting the financial performance, which is something that is important to all of us. We also announced our dividend for that we will pay this year regarding the past years. And I also would say that we remain very committed to the same, type of philosophy we had in the past years. But with that, I will invite Gonçalo to do the main presentation. Thank you.
Hi, hello to you all. Good afternoon, good morning. So if you go to slide number 2, and just to cover some of the main highlights, I think that broadly the results were slightly better than expected and in line with previous quarters, our net income reached almost 113 million euros, 7% below last year, meaning that the main negative impact came from the extraordinary levy, 25 million, and the main positive impact came from the decrease in financial costs that were not enough to offset. Net income was also slightly negatively impacted by EBITDA. EBITDA reached 505.2 million euros, 3.1% to be exact below last year. And this was mainly explained by the reduction in the remuneration from the hydro land. And also, as you may remember, there was a reversion in the impairment of receivable debt last year that impacted positively 13, and then on a year-on-year basis impacts negatively this year. In terms of investment, this is lower than we have last year, but this was expected and by design. As you know, we have for approval an investment from underground storage assets that we are buying from Galp. This has still not been approved, but we calibrated the CapEx for both this year, 2014, and for the current year, 2015, so that we would stay within the maximum 200 million per year that we had set on the business plan. On slide 13, we just recall that it was an important year in terms of financing strategy and in terms of going to the market and improving our financial costs. And this resulted, and this was a result on one side on the improvement of Portugal on one side, but also on the good work that the company did, and that reflects on the fact that we were the first one to recover the investment grade rating within Portuguese companies. Happily, other companies have also joined us now in investment grade territory, but we were the first, and that represents the effort that we made of refinancing in 13 and 12. Let's go into each of these points a little bit more in detail. I'll skip slide number 4, which are just the main indicators, and let's move to slide number 5, which is basically the one of the most important indicators that we have, is evolution of the sovereign risk. As you know, this has been evolving positively in the sense that it's been going down. This has, as you know, a negative impact on our revenues, but they were pretty much in line with our expectations. They've been pretty stable at the end of the year, so they were more or less in line with our expectations, but they did cause a reduction in returns. If you move to slide number 6, and talking a little bit about investment, what you can see is this reduction of 13% in CapEx. As I said, we did all of the projects that we wanted to do, both in gas and electricity, and the reduction of this 25 million results merely from this new value that we defined for CapEx last year in order to incorporate the potential investment that we have in the underground storage assets that we are buying from Galp. Relating that investment, just to let you know, we are now waiting one final approval, the government, the approval, the competition authority has approved it, the regulator has approved it, so we're just waiting for that last one. We hope that this can be done during the year, so let's wait and see what comes out from there. Okay, in terms of transfers to RAB, they were exactly as expected, slightly below the 200 million, and that is, it makes sense as CapEx goes a little bit lower, transfers also slightly lower. In slide number 7, you can see that most of the increase in RAB comes from electricity with premium, which is exactly what we want. Almost all of the investment that we made last year was with premium, only a very small amount was not. And so that's translating to a reduction of the electricity without premium asset base and a major increase in electricity with premium. Natural gas decreased slightly as there were not enough in investments to compensate for depreciation. And lands also decreased as they do every year. But at the end of the day, the mix of the assets improves as usual. In slide number 8, you can see the impact of both the change in the rates and the change in the asset base. So what you can see is a stability in electricity on one side, a positive impact from the asset base and a negative impact from the rate that compensate more or less each other. And then a small decrease on the side of the natural gas, mainly because of the rate of return. Let's move now into the P&L and into costs on slide number 9. I think this was again a good year in terms of efficiency improvement. Costs fell around 4%, okay? And they are particularly strong, the improvement, if you look at core OPEX in slide number 10. And there you can see that core OPEX came down 6%. It was a mix of both personnel costs that came down and several other costs, be it operating and maintenance, be it IT costs, be it legal costs. So there was many costs that came down in the year 2014. Not giving guidance, as you know, we continue to make this effort to improve efficiency, but every year that goes by, it will become harder to do so. And you have to bear that in mind, that we will not be able to improve costs forever, and that cost improvement with time will start to decrease and be a bit less, although it will always be a concern for management. So, as a result, in slide 11, you can see the evolution of EBITDA, this decrease of 16 million, which is, as I said, basically explained by the 8 million of decrease from the hydro land remuneration, the 5 million of other revenues that was a non-recurrent in 13, and also around 4 million of impact of the financial own works, which is normal and compensated on the financial cost part, as this relates mostly to a reduction in interest rates during last year. Going to slide number 12 and looking below EBITDA, depreciation, as always, is a little bit non-eventful, so much in line with evolution of the regulated asset base. And then you have the one positive and one negative impact that you have below EBITDA. On one side, you have a major reduction of financial costs. Okay, this, as you know, was the result and expected of the refinancing, namely in 2013. And specifically of the large bond that we had at the end of 2013. And this allowed for the cost of debt to decrease materially from 5.5 to 4.7. On the negative side, you have the taxes that go up by a lot because we had to pay in 14 for the first time the extraordinary levy, which is around 25.1 million. Relating to the levy, and as you know, we decided to pay it, and we paid it at the beginning of 2015. There are no major news. We also said at the time that we would, because we feel we have grounds, look into questioning it from a judicial point of view. We are in the process of studying the best way to do so. There are, I'd say, no news on that front, but we are implementing what we've said to the market some time ago. So in terms of net income, in slide 13, you can see that it comes down by 7%, namely because of the extraordinary levy. If it was not for that and we looked only at recurrent income, it would actually go up by a good amount, by more than 15%. One final point regarding the debt. It went up slightly, and this was mainly because last year we had a little bit more tax payments than we had in previous years. These are not completely stable from year to year. Sometimes, some years we pay a little bit more, some years we pay a little bit less. And on the other side, we have also a little bit more tariff deviation, which is, as you know, also normal. Sometimes we have a little bit more, sometimes we have a little bit less. In this case, we have both in the same negative, I'd say, sense. And so debt went up a little bit, but overall credit metrics improved across the board. And as you can see also, and as I said, average cost of debt came down significantly. So we feel that we continue to be in an extremely solid financial position. So in terms of some final remarks, and just to remind you, we had a year, an important year also in terms of our shareholder composition, in the sense that it was the final stage of the privatization process of the company in the middle of the year, which allowed for free float and liquidity to improve a lot relative to where we were before. It was also important to note that on top of that, we continue to pursue an extremely attractive dividend policy, and that despite the fact that we have a decrease in net income, there is a strong commitment to promote an attractive dividend policy. And so the board decided to propose to the AGM that the dividend for this year would be exactly the same as it was last year, $0.171 per share, which still represents an extremely attractive dividend yield. With that, I conclude the presentation, and we will open the floor to any questions that you may have to the executive committee. Thank you.
Thank you. If you'd like to ask a question at this time, please press star or the access key followed by the digit one on your telephone. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star two. Again, please press star one to ask the question. We will pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal. We will now take our first question from Jutta Umessi from Barclays.
Hello, good afternoon. I have two questions, if I may. So the first one is on your cost of debt. You just refinanced 300 million euros of bonds at the beginning of the year. Since then, the credit spreads went down even further. So the question is, do you intend to maybe purchase back early bonds in the market that were only due to mature in 2016, or do you think about increasing your gearing levels? And then secondly, could you please specify which of your positive effects on net income this year are one-off? Thank you.
Hi. Relative to the cost of debt, we are always trying to optimize and minimize the average cost of debt. As you point out, most of our bond issuances have not passed a lot of time since they were done, but we will, of course, look not only when appropriate and needed issue again, but also consider any liability management opportunities that we may have. It's a little bit early. As of now, we just issued. We are not planning to do anything before the summer. We will, again, look at the market more at the end of the year and see if there are any opportunities of doing that. Again, and another question that you asked, as of now, we are comfortable with our gearing level. We believe that they are consistent with the investment grade rating that we have. We are not looking at increasing or decreasing. We will do so if needed, but as of now, we do not think that we have to change them. Relative to your one-off questions, there are no major impacts. The only one that I will tell you is that this year we were particularly successful in recuperating some tax credits that we have from previous years. They amount to around more or less €3 million that made our tax rate, excluding the special levy, be a little bit lower than usual. I would say that that amount, every year we recuperate something, but that amount was slightly above what would be expected on a normal year, but it's not extremely material. But to be completely thorough answering your question, that would be the only point that I would say. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Gonzalez Sanchez Bordona from BPI.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my questions. I have a question on the one-off tax in Portugal. Given that you will be doing shortly a strategic presentation and a new plan, I guess you will have to take a position on whether this tax will become permanent or you will just assume that it will be there in 2015. So just wanted to know what kind of assumption are you taking regarding the plan with this levy, and also what kind of impact this could have in dividends. So basically, if you're assuming that the one-off tax is going to stay, payout at current levels is quite high, and just wanted to get a feeling on how comfortable are you with this kind of payout of around 100%. Thank you.
At the moment, it's very, very hard to give a very precise answer in terms what are we expecting from the future. For sure, you know, the government is still calling it a special tax, and in every sense, it seems that it will go away in the future. The question is when and how. What we know is what we have at the moment. You know, they launched a new tax. We decide to pay, and we decide to go to court, because I think we have plenty of reasons to dispute their decision. And, you know, obviously what will happen in the court will be very important even for the future of the extra tax. But, you know, for the moment, as you probably will understand, we cannot share what's going to be our legal strategy. The only thing, you know, we are convinced we are right. We believe the court will give us the reason that we think we have. In other countries, as you probably are aware, this type of tax was declared anti-constitutional, and we also think that can well be the case in Portugal. But, you know, a court is a court, and the decision of the judge only comes at the end of of the process. Then we have to be very responsible on this. For sure, we will comply with the court decisions, but we believe you are right. Now, looking to the next couple of years, you know, we believe that will change, that will go away, but it's very hard now to say that we are absolutely sure. You know, it's not going to be applied next year or so. You know, we are challenging the decision. We believe you are right. There is other decisions in other places that seems to help us on our theory, and that's what we will be doing in the next few months. And I don't expect that we will have anything new to share in the next couple of months, because these court processes always take some time.
Thank you.
Okay, just if I may, how long do you think the legal process will take until you have a final decision on this issue?
Well, this type of process, it's long. It can't. I would say that it will. You know, we expect this will take from 6 months. It could take to more than a year. but it's very, very hard to predict. It really depends on resources available on the court side. You know, for sure, we are going to give these the maximum priority we can.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star 1. We will now take our next question from Fraser McLaren from Bank of America Merrill Lynch.
Hello, good afternoon. Excuse my rather squeaky voice today. Just a quick follow-up to the previous question. Is there any sense of deadline by which the court must hear the case? And can you comment on how you expect the elections to impact, if at all, on the process? And then secondly, are you able to clarify, please, the impact of the new electricity regulation, including any elements of it that are less obvious to us, such as, you know, end-of-life asset treatment, etc.? Thank you.
On the this is going to be a quite complex case in the court. I'm not going to go into too many details, but you know we are not talking about a single object of taxation. You know, we have three objects, one very very high amount, two others with smaller amounts. You know, each of the cases will be dealt in relatively different ways, and we as I said before, we are not expecting this to happen in the next 3 months. This is going to take time. This is a very, very complex situation. You know, even I would say that our courts are not used to deal with these type of challenges. And it's not saying that we are optimistic or pessimistic. We are optimistic on the result. In terms of timing, it is what it is. You know, this is something that it will take some time to solve. Something between 6 months to well over a year. I'm sure it can happen. You also mentioned, elections. If this will impact or not the court process, I don't think so. You know, we have a lot of challenges in the country. But I think the courts and our legal system, it's not affected by the calendar of elections. You know, if you ask me, there is always, politicians can play with perceptions in terms of what the utilities do in a designated country. Yeah, sure, that's happened everywhere. But if that is going to influence the way the court functions, I don't think so. I think we have quite a professional system. This is a very solid democracy, and I'm not expecting at all any pollution coming from one way to the other. It's just fine. On the new regulation impact, I would have João talking about that.
Hello. Regarding new regulation, what I will tell you is that it's public. There is an important impact on the base ROAR, which has been decreased, and with the indexation mechanism, it will flow again with the evolution of Portuguese bonds. We got some changes in terms of the incentives. Some positive changes on the incentives, with the fact that the regulator has set a new extended lifetime incentive mechanism. We are going to obviously to continue to improve on the OPEX efficiency. So overall, I would say that in terms of the accounts, the overall impact could be around 20-25 million on EBITDA. For comparing directly 2014-2015.
Okay.
Thank you. As a final reminder, ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star 1. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off. We We will now take our next question from Manuel Losa from Goldman Sachs.
Hi, good afternoon. I have one follow-up question on the tax and the potential impact on the dividend. So given that you expect or may expect that there will be not any outcome from the courts in the next 6 to 12 months, which are your expectations in terms of, do you think that you could keep the dividend at this level if the tax remains in 2016 and going forward? Thank you.
This is one of those questions, right? That we have to, you know, and I'm sure you all understand what type of answer we can give you. If the question is, even with the levy we have to pay, if our financial situation will allow to similar dividend pay, of course, you know, I don't think we have any challenge on that front. The other question is, is this a commitment, or am I making a statement in the name of our, you know, general shareholder meeting? I'm not. You know, this is something, as you know, for this year. You know, the board met just yesterday. We made a proposition that it's going to be taken to the general shareholder meeting, but that's where things get decided. And then, you know, when the strategy plan comes, we may or may not, you know, establish a commitment. You know, this is, of course, a decision that we will take. You know, one thing for sure, we believe this is, you know, as we said before, and, you know, solid, very solid business, you know, predictable revenue streams. You know, of course, this comes with a lot of responsibilities, but I think we have a, you know, fabulous company. You know, we have very good engineering. People are extremely committed to what they do every day. If you look to our ratios, you know, from, you know, EBITDA to and debt to, you know, number of people per kilometer of grid, both on the electrical side or gas side, you know, we look really very good. We are, you know, by any measure we do, you know, we are in a very good position, and I don't think we should be embarrassed with any of our metrics. And you know, and with that said, I think we'll be able to keep delivering in a very positive way in the years to come.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from George Alosone from Societe Generale.
Hi, I would like just to confirm what you mentioned before, is that the potential impact on EBITDA in 2015 will be between 20 and 25 million due to these new regulatory measures or the potential changes in the regulation. Just to confirm that, thank you.
That's what Juan said, on just the regulatory part. Of course, then there are other positives, like there are still reduction costs, there are still reductions in financial costs. So,
correct.
So there are other positive impacts. The question here and the answer was merely talking about electricity regulation, okay, for you to, on that front, since it's a new thing, to understand a little bit better what would be the impact of that specific change. Okay. Thank you.
As there's no further question in the queue at this time, that will conclude today's question and answer session. I would now like to turn the call back over to our speakers for any additional or closing remarks.
Just a word of thank you to all of you. It was great to be in this call. And of course, Anna is available to any follow-up that is needed as well. We will be. Thank you very much.
Thank you guys. Have a nice day. Bye.